My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, a story from the time that we live in. Some years back, there was a man who was a successful businessman, and in the marketplace, he used to lead the prayer at Salatul Dhuhr. And one day, the people told him after the Salat, You only prayed three rak'ats and not four. He said, no, I prayed four. And he's certain he prayed four. And they said, no, three, four, they're going back and forth. And he's absolutely certain that he prayed four. And everybody else is telling him, no, you prayed three. The thing was, is that he had dalil, he had evidence that he had actually prayed four. He didn't want to share the evidence with them at the time. But he was positive that he prayed four. And they're saying, no, no, trust us, you prayed three. So we went back and forth for some time. He said, look, he said, I'm going to tell you what happened. He said, I've been leading the prayer here for many years, Salatul Dhuhr, four rakats. And in this market, he said, I have four stores. So in each rakah, I go to each one of my stores. And the first rakah, I go to the biggest store because it has the most things that need to be done. Then the second store, the third store, and the fourth store. And he said, today I visited all four stores. So I said, I know 100% that I prayed all four rakats. Now, as we hear this story, it makes us laugh that someone, and subhanAllah, every day he could go to these four stores. But the reality is that almost all of us, we fall into the same category in our prayer. When we go into the prayer, the shaitan comes to us and he pulls us right, we go right. He pulls us left, we go left. We travel back home and then back to Doha and then we go here and then we go there and we're all around the world, we're thinking about this and thinking about that. And then the imam says, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Huh? And we don't know what was said in the salat. We don't know what the imam read in the salat. Wallah, if you ask the people, what did the imam read in the first rak'ah? I'm talking about surahs that all of us know from Juz'u Amma. Huh? Well, people say, I don't remember. Because they weren't there. His body's there, but his mind is somewhere else. This is the reality, subhanAllah. How many times has shaitan beat us and taken from our salat? Almost all of the time. And that's why today we want to draw a line and say enough is enough. To be able to defeat shaitan in our prayer. And also to be able to overcome the waswas, not just in the prayer, but also we're going to discuss today as well, the waswas that many of our brothers and sisters have when it comes to their wudu and their tahara. Many of them, their ibadat, their acts of worship are ruined because they let shaitan whisper to them, I broke my wudu. I forgot to wash my face, I forgot to wipe my head, I forgot this, and he ruins his ibadah. And I'm going to share with you today a story that happened to me as a new Muslim when I was in America. Why I missed Salatul Fajr? Because of the waswas and falling victim to the waswas and how I was saved from it, alhamdulillah. And I'm going to share with you today, inshallah ta'ala, some of the techniques that I've used for years to coach many of our brothers and sisters, and they've been cured from the waswas, alhamdulillah. First of all, ask yourself the question, why does shaitan come to us in the salat? What does he want from us? Why is there so much focus? And subhanAllah, usually, what does he remind us of? Usually it's good things. It's beneficial things. He reminds you of important things. Oh, there's a deadline you forgot about at work. Shukran, you know? Thanks for reminding me. In the salat, he comes to remind you. You know what? If you were to do this at your job, you could actually do better. The company could improve. You could do this. You get a raise. And now you're building your palace back home because you're making more money. You got a raise. And you're gone. Khalas, he got you. SubhanAllah, sometimes I told the brothers and sisters that even he comes to me in the prayer. And what does he remind me of? What do I focus on in my life? Giving da'wah. Reminding myself and reminding me of others. He comes with da'wah ideas, which is beneficial. It's something Islamic, it's something good, but it's not the time for it. The prayer, now this is time for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is time for me to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He'll come and remind you, you know, that would be a very good video if you made that video later on. And you'd be like, yeah. So then you start thinking, and you're gone. So we're going to learn today what to do when he comes to us. How can we get back on track, inshallah ta'ala? So what does he want from us? This is the key thing we need to know in the beginning. First of all, Al-Imam Ibn Al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned something amazing. He said, إِذَا قَامَ الْعَبْدِ, if the servant stands up in the prayer, he wants to pray, غَارَ مِنْهُ الشَّيْطَانِ, that shaitan becomes jealous of him. Why is that? He said, because he's standing أَعْظَم مَقَام, he's standing the greatest stance. He's standing where? In front of Rabbil Alameen, in front of the Lord of the heavens and the earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What a noble stance, what a great stance. You're standing there in front of Allah. Shaytan becomes jealous. And that's why he strives his best to make sure that you do not complete your prayer, that you do not perfect your prayer. He knows how much we need this prayer if we're going to be successful. He knows that our spirituality and being successful in our spiritual life depends on the prayer. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how did he describe the prayer? He said, "Qurrata ayni." He said it was the coolness of my eyes, the prayer. He used to say to Bilal radiallahu an, "Arihna biha ya Bilal." Let us find relaxation through the prayer, ya Bilal. Call the adhan. Let's relax in the prayer. Let's find this relaxation. He knows that at the time of difficulties, the way out for us, the solution for us is in the prayer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, ista'inu bis-sabri was-salat. Oh, you have believed, seek assistance through patience and prayers. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, at the time of difficulties, what would he do alayhi salatu wa sallam? He would race to the salat. He would race to the prayer. Shaytan knows all of this. He doesn't want us to race to the prayer. He wants to come between us. And if we go into the prayer, we don't benefit from it. This is his objective. He knows that the prayer forbids us from that which is evil and that which is immoral. إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. Allah says it clearly in the Quran. The salat forbids from that which is immoral and that which is evil. The shaytan knows that this salat is the sila. It's the connection between the abd, between the servant, and between Rabbihi, between his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. He wants to connect, cut that connection off between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knows that this salat is the backbone of the religion. And if you collapse the backbone of the human being, what happens to him? He collapses. And this is the human being without the salat. His iman collapses. The shaitan knows the great reward. He knows that our sins are being forgiven and he wants us to go to Jahannam. So he's going to make sure that we don't focus in the salat. Shaitan knows that the ones who will be successful, as Allah made it clear in Surah Al-Mu'minun, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, that indeed the mu'minun, the believers, have been successful. What is the first description that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes these mu'minun that are the successful ones? أَلَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ, the ones who find the khushu, the tranquility in the salat. And that's why shaitan doesn't want us to focus. We need to realize this. What are his objectives? And then after that, we realize that when we come and we're about to say Allahu Akbar, that it's time for battle. This is the reality. Aisha radiallahu anha, in the hadith which is narrated in Sahih Bukhari, she asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam about al-iltifat, the one who looks to the right, looks to the left, he looks around during the salat. I mean, he's not paying attention. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said that's ikhtilas from a shaytan. Ikhtilas meaning the shaytan is stealing something from your prayer. He's taking something from your prayer. And the crazy thing is, that when it comes to the affairs of our dunya, if we were to know that someone was stealing from our money, what would we do? We will do whatever we can to make sure we protect our money. We have 100 reals, he stole 2 or 3, he stole 5, he's not going to get the rest of those 95. When it comes to our salat, he takes 5%, 10%, yalla, take 20, take 40, take it all. Huh? And it's like we don't pay attention to protecting our salat, which is the backbone of the religion, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described, amud al-deen, the backbone of the religion. And we let shaitan take from it. Uthman ibn Abi al-As radiallahu anhu, in the hadith which is narrated in Sahih Muslim, he complained to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, inna shaitan hala bayni wa bayna salati wa qira'ati. That shaitan has intervened. He's come between myself and my prayer and my recitation of the Quran. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, that's a shaitan known as Khunzib. And he told us the cure and how to deal with that shaitan when he comes to us in the salat. And we'll mention that in a minute, inshallah ta'ala. After we realize that we're in battle and we know the objectives of shaitan, we need to remind ourselves of the outcome of our prayer. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he said, لَيْسَ لَكَ مِنْ صَلَاتِكَ إِلَّا مَا عَقَلْتَ, that you don't get from your prayer except for that which you عَقَلْتَ, meaning that which you understood, that which you focused on, huh? That which you benefited from, meaning you that they're there in the prayer, not distracted. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us in the hadith, إِنَّ الرَّجُلَ لَيَنْصَرِفْ مِنْ صَلَاتِهِ, that the man, he leaves his prayer. After the prayer, he finished praying, prayed it from beginning to end. But it only is written down for him, ushruha, a tenth of it. And then he said, a ninth of it, an eighth of it, a seventh of it, a sixth of it, a fifth of it. He said, a quarter of it, or a half, or a third of it, or half of it. Meaning, shaitan is taking from each one of us different portions of the prayer. He might take half of the prayer. He might take almost all of the prayer, leave you just with about a tenth of it left, of the rewards. This is what shaitan is doing to us in the prayer. We think we're getting the reward, and we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yawm al-qiyamah with all of these empty salats, all of these uncompleted salats. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he said, إِنَّ رَجُلَ لَيُشِيبُ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ وَلَمْ يُتَمْ لِلَّهِ رَكَعَ. Subhanallah. He said that a man becomes elderly in Islam and he has not finished one rak'ah for Allah. Meaning his life is in Islam. He's been praying. But Umar is telling us, radiallahu anhu, لَمْ يُتِمْ لِلَّهِ رَكَعَ. He never completed one rak'ah to Allah. The people asked him hearing this, وَكَيْفَ ذَلِكَ. Umar, how is that, Umar? He's praying, how can he not finish one rak'ah? He said, لَمْ يُتِمْ رُكُوعَهَا وَسُجُودَهَا, that he didn't perfect, didn't finish, didn't establish the ruku' and the sujood of the salat. I mean, he wasn't there in the salat. He was just going through the movements. But he wasn't perfecting his prayer. This is the outcome. We have to be aware of all of these things. After we're aware of these things, then the question comes, what are some practical tips that can help us concentrate on the prayer? And many times, people want solutions inside of the prayer. And there is a solution, alhamdulillah, from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inside of the prayer. But the reality is, my dear brothers and sisters, that the main solutions actually come and start outside of the prayer before we even enter in the prayer. So if we really want to be able to focus and benefit from our prayer, and defeat shaitan, we need to start off by rectifying our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Making sure that we are establishing the taqwa in our lives, in our actions. Making sure that we know who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Knowing Allah through His beautiful names and attributes. And once we truly know Allah, we will love Allah. And when we love Allah, it has to show up in our actions. And then, after we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to prepare ourselves for the prayer. Preparing ourselves for the salat. Starting with purifying our hearts before we even come to the salat. And we always give the example of the glass. If I were to come with the glass and turn it upside down and try to pour the water in, what would happen? No water into the glass. This is the same thing with the ibadat that we have, the salat and the dhikr and the Quran. If our hearts are impure, if our hearts are contaminated, then the khair and the barakah and the good is not going to come in. We need to purify our hearts. And then we prepare for the salat. And preparation for the salat is both mental preparation and physical. SubhanAllah. Mental, because the salat now is just like, oh, the adhan was called, we drag ourselves, bismillah, make the wudu, Allahu Akbar. And it's just, you know, touching our phone, make sure we know we'll be with you in a minute. When it's not really, you know, think preparation. What preparation? First of all, mentally, we prepare ourselves. Knowing who we're about to stand in front of. SubhanAllah. You're about to stand in front of Rabbil Alameen. The Lord of the heavens and the earth. SubhanAllah. If we were to go now to stand in front of the ruler of any country, Muslim, non-Muslim ruler, it wouldn't matter. We'd make sure we'd be paying attention. We'd be standing straight. Wouldn't be looking around. We'd be concentrating on what's being said and what we have to do as we're about to meet the prince or the ruler or the king or the president, whoever it might be. But we're about to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We prepare ourselves. We remind ourselves of all of the things I mentioned that shaitan knows and wants to take from us in the salat, our need for the salat. We prepare ourselves mentally. When we hear Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, the adhana, I need this salat. I'm in need of all of these things I'm gaining and benefiting from this salat. I need this salat. Mentally, I prepare myself. Physically, how do I prepare myself? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, خُذُوا زِينَتَكُمْ عِنْدَ كُلِّ مَسْجِدٍ, to take your adornment, meaning to have your best clothes, your best attire on when you go to the masjid. What is the objective of this? Just that we look nice, just that we smell nice, the emotional impact that it has on you when you dress properly. When you go to work and you dress nice, and you got a nice clothes, you got that tie on, you got the suit, you feel smart, you think you look good, huh? It has an impact on you. When you go to work out, what type of clothes do you wear? You wear the workout clothes. I see the brothers, mashallah, they go now, they get the new shoes and the new clothes, and they're out when they're starting their workouts, mashallah. Because it makes you feel like you want to work out more. The same thing now, it's salat time. Make sure I have the cleanest clothes on. Make sure I smell good. I have to do the check, huh? Check. No, astaghfirullah. I can't go stand in front of... And many brothers, you'll stand next to some brothers in the salat, and you'll pray like this. And your whole focus is, when am I going to finish? Other brothers, mashallah, may Allah bless them, they come to Salatul Fajr, but they don't brush their teeth. And and you're like, man, a'udhu billahi min shaitanir rajim. This is salat. خُذُوا زِينَتَكُمْ عِنْدَ كُلِّ مَسْجِدٍ. Allah is commanding us. Take your joy and be prepared. This is the physical that leads to the emotional impact on the prayer. Respect for the salat. And notice, my brothers and sisters, I mentioned about 4 or 5 different things now. All of these tips are outside of the prayer. We haven't even entered in the prayer yet. This is the impact that what's outside of the prayer has on what's inside the prayer. Once we want to enter into the prayer, how can we defeat shaitan? One of the keys is to understand the prayer. Understanding what we're saying and understand what we're doing, the movements. What do they mean? What's the hikmah behind them? Why are we doing this? There's so much benefit in each and every movement and each and every statement. Each one has wisdom behind it. SubhanAllah, many brothers and sisters, they pray for years. 40, 50, 60 years, and they have no clue what the meanings of what they're saying and doing are. Can you imagine? I'll give you an example. And this is something I find very bizarre. It's the basics as a Muslim. We need to understand what it is we're saying, what it is we're doing. Imagine if it was permissible. It's not permissible to pray except for in Arabic. We know that. But if you could choose any language, let's say for argument's sake, and let's say I like Japanese language. So I'm going to learn how to pray in Japanese. And I have no clue what I'm saying. No clue what I'm doing. and I'm praying in Japanese for 40, 50 years. What would you say? He's majnoon, he's crazy. But this is the reality of so many Muslims around the world, that they don't know the basic meanings of what they're saying, the words they're saying. You need to focus on understanding the prayer, knowing what to do in the prayer, how to pray properly. All of these things have an impact. Knowing different sunnahs to change and do in the prayer, that has an impact on your prayer. Now comes the question. With all of this, shaitan came to us in the prayer. What do we do now? Alhamdulillah, we know from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the hadith we mentioned, the hadith of Uthman ibn Abi al-As radiallahu anhu, when he said, the shaitans come between me and my salat and my recitation of the Quran. And he told him about that shaitan, and he said to him to do two things. To make isti'adha, seek refuge in Allah from that shaitan, and then to slightly spit. And pay attention to the word spit in the translation. What's meant by it is basically some air only, not actual spit. So the sunnah, he said to do what? To do a slight little spit on your left side. So you're praying, shaitan's got you, you can't concentrate. A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim. Three times. This is the sunnah. And what he said, meaning air, not spit. Don't spit on the guy next to you in the salat, huh? Just air. Bismillah. By Allah, how many times have you seen someone do this in the prayer? The hadith is in Sahih Muslim. Well-known, famous hadith. How many times have you seen a Muslim in a masjid do this? Sometimes when I tell this hadith, people say, I never heard this hadith before. Yeah, this is what the Prophet ﷺ told us to do. Shaitan got us. A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim. This is one of the ways. Why? You get back on track. You seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from a shaitan. And then what? You get back on track. This is the objective. And you start to focus on your prayer. And there's actually a third thing. With these two sunnahs, and this goes back to understanding the reality and the essence of the meanings of what we say in the prayer, that we have a minimum in a 2-rakat salat of 11 reminders to put us back on track from a shaitan. Minimum, if we're praying 2 rakats only, it's going to be 11 times. If you're praying 3 or 4 rakats, it's going to be more than 11. And what is that reminder? Allahu Akbar. We say it just routine now. What is the meaning of Allahu Akbar? We understand the real meanings of Allahu Akbar. If shaitan got us, and we're in the first rakat, and we've traveled back home, we're thinking about what we're going to do once we land in the airport, and this is the reality. And then all of a sudden the imam says, Allahu Akbar. It's a reminder to us that Allah is greater than anything and everything that shaitan is trying to distract us with, and that puts us back on track. After learning, my dear brothers and sisters, of how to get back on track in our salat, we'll mention a 7th tip, or 8th if you want to say, 7 different tips that we mentioned, and that is the dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many times, and all of us know ourselves, ask yourself, how many times have you asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you concentrate, help you focus and benefit from the prayer? Very rarely. It's usually, oh Allah, new car, oh Allah, new wife, oh Allah, new job. This is it. It's always dunya. How many times have we turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asked Him to help us? How many times have we begged on Allah, help me find tranquility, help me be from the khashi'een? The dua is powerful, my dear brothers and sisters. And that takes us to the last topic of today, which is the waswasa in the wudu. Wallahi subhanAllah. How many of our poor brothers and sisters around the world, their ibadah, their worship has been demolished, destroyed from shaitan because of the waswasa that they have when it comes to wudu. And I told you I would tell you a story of something that happened to me when I was a new Muslim. I sat with some of our chachas, some of our uncles in America. May Allah bless them. But they taught me different forms of bid'ah and innovation, which they thought was a good idea. Because they say you have to be pure when you stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you make istinja, you have to do a little bit more just to make sure that no impurities come out. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us how to clean ourselves when we use the toilet. And this is one of the beauties of Islam. Didn't leave anything behind alayhi salatu wa sallam. We have 3 ways of cleaning ourselves. Either, and the best way is to use something like we would use toilet paper these days, and the days we live in, they might use stones or anything, or you know, wood or whatever they had back in the day. So we use toilet paper or something to dry ourselves, and then with water. Or secondly, just with water, or you just use toilet paper or whatever you have available to clean yourself. This is what we were commanded to do as Muslims, not to go any farther. But some brothers said, no, we want to just make sure, just in case. So he said, what you should do is put the tissue and you should jump around just to make sure everything comes out. One said, no, he said, I learned something from our elder, something beautiful, that you cough 25 times. Other one said, you take 25 steps inside of the toilet. So you can imagine, I'm a new Muslim. So I said, I'm going to try all of these. Bismillah. Huh? So I went for Salat al-Fajr one day, and I'm jumping, walking, coughing. And what happens after you do it for some time? Shaitan comes to you. Amen. Something came out. I'm like, yeah, you're right, man. So I try it again. And then you, all of a sudden you feel something come out. And you suddenly feel something come out. All of a sudden it's after shuruq now. I've been in there for a long time in the toilet. I come out. One of our brothers, may Allah bless him, he said, bro, where were you? Why'd you miss the salat? And I explained to him what happened. He said, don't listen to that. He said, the Prophet told us how to make istinja, how to clean ourselves. He told me the three ways. He said, that's all you have to do as a Muslim. Even if something comes out later, it's not on you, because you did what you were supposed to do as a Muslim. Don't listen to that stuff. It'll mess up your ibadah. Alhamdulillah, I took his advice, and alhamdulillah, I was never bothered again. But if I had not listened to him, shaitan would have continued to come with me into a room, my ibadah. So what do we do? How do we overcome this? Wallah, it's two very easy steps. Wallah, it's so easy, akhwan. All you have to do is follow these steps. And these are proven steps. Numerous people, alhamdulillah, have found cure through these steps. First of all, that if you're afflicted with this waswasa in your wudu, that you return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And returning to Allah in three different ways. First of all, as we say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. We learn this from the Quran and from the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When shaitan comes, you say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Secondly, making dua to Allah, that Allah will cure us, Allah will help us, Allah help me overcome this. The dua is powerful. The weapon of the believer, the dua. And then, with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by remembering Allah. Even some of the scholars said this is the most powerful tool in fighting off the waswasa. From them, Ibn Hajar al-Haytami rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and making plenty of it. He says it's the strongest way to fight the waswasa. Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that some of the scholars said that the one who has been afflicted with the waswasa in his wudu and his salat, that he should say, La ilaha illallah. Because when he says, La ilaha illallah, and remembers Allah, shaitan becomes small and he runs away. So we say, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim, La ilaha illallah. We make dua to Allah night and day to cure us. And the second step, we take directly from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith, which is narrated in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. And it's a qa'idah, a principle when it comes to the waswasa. The man came to him, he said he imagines in his salat that he broke his wudu, that he broke wind, he passed gas. What did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tell him? He said, La yansarif. He doesn't leave the prayer. You're in prayer, you don't leave the prayer. Hatta yasma'u sawtan aw yajid rihan. He said, unless he hears the sound, or he smells the smell. Meaning what? Yaqeen, certainty. And that's why the principle in Islam is, Al-yaqeen la yazulu bishak. Al-yaqeen la yazulu bishak. That certainty is not removed by doubts. Pay attention to this principle. And how do we put it into action? By not acting upon the waswasa. Pay attention. By not acting and not paying any attention to the waswasa. And some brothers and sisters who have waswasa, they say, yeah, Shaykh, it's easier said than done. But if you want to cure yourself, wallahi, this is the only way. There's no other way except for what we mentioned, going back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then not paying any attention to it. Don't pay attention to the waswasa. When shaitan comes to you and says, you broke your wudu, you say, no, I didn't. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim, la ilaha illallah. You have to make yourself believe you didn't break it. You come, you say, I forgot to wipe my head. I forgot to wash my arm. I forgot my ears. You know what you have to do? Don't pay attention to it. Make yourself believe that you did it. And then you do what? After you seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you get up and you pray, no matter what. Shaitan said, no, man, you forgot to wipe your head, dude. you're not going to, your salah is not going to be accepted. Say, I'm still going to pray. This is what the scholar said. You have to force yourself. And when you force yourself to believe it, and you go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you pray anyways, you defeat the shaitan. Eventually, you're going to overcome. And I told you, this is proven. Well, I have brothers and sisters who come to me, some of them on a daily basis. And some of them, because of family ties, I had to answer their questions every day. I said, Sheikh, I forgot to wipe my head. Sheikh, I felt something came out. I think I broke wind. I think I did this. No, you didn't. And I said, pray anyways. Pray. Get up. Pray right now. Don't talk about it. Go pray. And they said, but I don't know my salah. I said, pray. This is what Allah commanded you to do. Something might have came out. Say, Akhi, did you make istinja? Yes. That's what Allah commanded. That's what the Prophet taught you to do. That's what you're commanded to do. Don't pay attention to it. Go pray. And wallahi, with these tools, with these easy steps, and you have to be strong. Go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and get up and fight shaitan and pray. Wallahi, you'll defeat the waswasa with no problem, inshallah ta'ala. And like we said, this is something proven. The scholars talked about it, and something that I've coached many of our brothers and sisters with, and once they implement on it and act upon it, and they force themselves to follow these steps, alhamdulillah, they defeat shaitan and they get back on track in their ibadah. ثم اعلموا رحمه الله وإياكم أن الله قد أمركم بأمر بدأ بي بنفسه ثم ثن بملائكة الكرام فقال عز وجل إن الله وملائكة يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما ويقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من صلى علي بواحدة صلى الله عليها بها عشرة اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وأنعم على نبينا محمد وارض اللهم عن الخلفاء الراشدين أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وعن سائر الصحابة أجمعين اللهم عز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم عز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم عز الإسلام والمسلمين وذل الشرك والمشركين ودمر اللهم أعداءك أعداء الدين اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكيها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها ربنا إننا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم اللهم إنا نسألك أن تكون عونا ومعينا لإخواننا المستضعفين في كل مكان ربنا حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان واجعلنا من الراشدين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وأقيموا الصلاة يرحمكم الله.